So we're turning this evening to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to read the scriptures beginning at verse 16. This was a very special occasion in the life of Abraham when he had a visit from the Lord and two angels. And we'll read here beginning at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after it, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 22. We trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts tonight as we meditate upon it a little while. Let us bow together with God's word open and ask His blessing upon the preaching of His word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we have the blood-bought privilege to call Thee our Father, which art in heaven. And Lord, we praise Thee that Thou art the God of salvation. There is none beside Thee. There is none like Thee. And Lord, we praise Thee for giving the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt give us understanding according to Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt deliver us from the words that man's wisdom teaches. And, O Lord, that Thou wilt grant us Thy Spirit, that we may indeed speak as thus saith the Lord. Please minister to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth and glorify Thy great name. We thank Thee for the forgiveness of our sins through the cleansing of the mighty, precious blood of Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Amen. The Christian Foundation for Education is the topic that I have been given. And the foundation for Christian education is none other than the Word of God. John Calvin wrote, There can be no foundation to build upon unless God dominates. People obey Him and conform to His Word. As we seek tonight to know the foundation for Christian education, we must go back before the Christian era. We not only turn to the Old Testament, but we go all the way back to the book of beginnings. Here in the book of Genesis, There was a man that we'll consider briefly who lived not only before the giving of the law of God, but even before there were scriptures of truth written anywhere upon this earth. This man, of course, was Abraham, the friend of God and the father of the faithful. God came down on a particular day for a visit with Abraham. The Lord brought two angels with him, and when Abraham saw them, he quickly had Sarah and others to prepare a delicious meal for them. And at that time, God had come down, especially for the purpose of burning Sodom and Gomorrah to the ground. But before he went away, the Lord told Abraham that he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord actually gave two reasons why he gave this information to Abraham. He shared this secret with Abraham. If you notice there in verse 18, you see the first reason, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And he says in the previous verse, verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And the second reason he gave is in verse 19, which is actually our text for this evening. Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. In verse 19, there are three simple things that I would endeavor to point out to you tonight. First of all, Abraham was a chosen vessel. Secondly, Abraham had to convey the truth. And then lastly, Abraham was part of the eternal crusade. First of all, we'll consider Abraham was a chosen vessel. We read the words here at the beginning of verse 19, for I know him. And it's a very interesting Hebrew verb for know, yadong. It conveys the meaning, now get this, it conveys the meaning of an eternal, electing, intimate, divine affection. And that is the most amazing thing, because if you carefully study that word and its usage in the Old Testament, you will find that it has this very intimate usage regarding love and also this wonderful electing, eternal choice of God. Now, out of Chaldean heathenism, God had chosen Abraham before the world ever existed. God chose him to be a testimony of what God could do with one man. Now, you may be a person given to pessimism and hopelessness. If anyone in history had something of the right to that position, it would be one living in an absolutely heathen culture, if you can call it culture, and living in the midst of all the heathens with no other believers around him anywhere. But here we have the testimony of what God could do for one man, a depraved idolater by birth. Now, many times in the scripture, this Hebrew word is used for love and for choosing. It's like the New Testament word for know that's used in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And I believe many of you know that verse well. 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And when God would introduce his subject in this way, by these terms, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. He's about to tell us something very important. The Lord knew them that are His. It is in the aorist tense, the strongest past tense. God knew once and for all eternity those that are His. And thus, they will forever be His. Now, this word that the Lord uses in the Old Testament is a counterpart to that New Testament term. For I know Him. Now, this special knowledge of Abraham included a very intimate relationship, a real communion with that lowly man. Now, Abraham, if you've studied his life, you know that he was a man of many prayers, a man of many altars, and a man of many sacrifices. Because Abraham loved and feared the Lord, in response, God shared with him this secret of what he was about to do down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Psalm 25:14 tells us, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, we read these words, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Well, the question was asked, was Saul among the prophets? Well, the Lord states in Genesis 20 and verse 7 that Abraham was a prophet. So God was not about to hide from His faithful servant what He was about to do. Because Abraham was a specially beloved vessel, God revealed to him His secrets and His saving truth. Thus, secondly, Abraham had to convey this truth. Abraham not only had truth to convey, Abraham had to convey this truth. Genesis 18 and verse 19, the Lord says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And you know, for a very long time, Abraham had no children. But he had a household. He had many household servants. He had many that were born in his house. And the Lord said of him that not only will he command them, but they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Because that's the kind of man that Abraham was, that he would so teach and instruct and command his household. God had revealed himself to Abram way back in Ur of the Chaldees. Now God said to him, get out of this place. I'll show you where to go. I'll bless thee and make thee a great nation. Now God continued to speak to Abraham. It's the most interesting thing just to go through the life of Abraham and see the times that the Lord appeared to him and the Lord spoke to him and gave him encouragement. God continued to speak to Abraham, promising him the land of Canaan, and also promising him a numerous seed. God told Abraham many things about the future of his descendants and what they would have to endure. And the Lord made it clear to Abraham that he would give him a son. Now, Abraham had known the Lord for 25 years, and yet he was still without a child from his wife, Sarah. And God would not give him Isaac until Abraham was a full 100 years old. Now, why was God doing that? Abraham was a man who would command and teach and instruct his household. And in order to do that, he had to be taught and instructed and commanded. God was teaching and preparing Abraham both by His Word, His words of encouragement, His words of promise, but also by His providence. We are to learn even from the providence of God, when sometimes that providence is very hard and difficult to deal with. It is especially in such times that the Lord would teach us. Well, Abraham taught his household prayer. He taught them sacrifice. He taught them circumcision. He taught them faith in God's Word. And he taught them faith in God's providence. When he took Isaac up on Mount Moriah that awful day, it was obvious that Abraham had faithfully been teaching his son. Because what did his son say to him? Isaac said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" He knew that he needed these things because he had been taught by his father faithfully. Again, Abraham's servant in chapter 24, that beautiful story, which is such a wonderful picture of the Lord God sending his spirit out into the world to take a bride for his son. But you think about Abraham's servant. That was the eldest servant in Abraham's house. He had spent a lot of years with Abraham, and Abraham had done well teaching that servant. That is a great evidence of the effectiveness of Abraham's teaching. Notice Abraham's servant in chapter 24. He knew how to pray. He was really in earnest with the Lord. He knew how to wait on God. He knew how to trust in God's providence because Abraham had taught it. And then when God answered, what did he do? He bowed and he worshiped God because the Lord had answered his prayers. Prayers made to the God of his master Abraham. He said it just that way. He called on the Lord God of his master Abraham. Now, Abraham's son Isaac became a meditative man. You read of him going into the field to meditate. He was also an altar building man, a man of prayer, because he was taught by his father. The commanding of his children and his household in verse 19 included clear teaching and instruction. Both John Calvin and the Puritan commentator Matthew Poole wrote that Abraham fulfilled the duty of the head as the head of his household by diligently communicating God's truth to his family. Now there is the very foundation of Christian education. Even before there was even the name known of Christianity. What God taught Abraham, Abraham taught his family. It is the duty, especially of fathers, to teach and instruct our children in God's Word. We have the very strong command given in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently when you're sitting in the home, when you're traveling. Whether it's morning or night, it's time for teaching. And Deuteronomy 6 is very interesting because it doesn't specifically address the fathers. The word is, "Hear, O Israel." So there's a word for mothers as well. This includes mothers' teaching also because God is commanding the whole nation to give the instruction to the rising generation. The instruction must include application and examination to make sure that our households not only know God's way, but what does this verse say? This verse says in verse 19 that he would command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Abraham didn't just tell them something. He made sure that they did what he taught them to do. Now, we must not only know God's way, we must keep his way. And we must follow up our instructions. making sure that our children are doing justice, judgment, practicing and living and keeping God's law. Now, the context of verse 19 impresses upon us the importance of teaching the wrath of God. And you see the word judgment here. Justice and judgment. And what a terrible judgment was about to fall. Now, God was about to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. The lesson is overwhelming. Our descendants must be taught the terror of the Lord against unrepentant sinners. Now, that's not a very palatable thing to teach, but we must teach the terror of the Lord against unrepentant sinners. Oh, how we need to teach our children that to refuse God's pattern of morality is to bring certain destruction upon their never-dying souls. God burned Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God burn Sodom and Gomorrah? Because their inhabitants boldly rejected God's plan of one man and one woman forming a godly, faithful, and enduring marriage. Even as America is this very night in rebellion against God, against His Word, against His plan. God was telling Abraham what He would do with Sodom because Abraham would teach and pass on the message of this wrath and holy judgment to his household. Now finally, Abraham was a chosen vessel who had to convey God's truth because Abraham was a part of God's eternal crusade. Verse 19 reveals to us that Abraham's household would carry on in the way of the Lord even after Abraham was dead and gone. You notice the scripture here in verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They'll not only follow his example, but even after he has gone on from this world, that same tradition of obedience, obeying the instruction that's been given, will go on. Now, God did not reveal himself to Abraham just for God's way to end with that old man. God makes his will known to us, not that knowledge will perish with us. No, we must witness God's truth by our words and by our walk to our posterity. This is an eternal crusade to go on and on to eternity. I say crusade because that points to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Abraham teach his family the need of a bloody burnt sacrifice? It was because of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Human sin, our children's sin, are so utterly ugly and hostile to God's holiness that rivers of human blood and rivers of animal blood have been shed in order to teach us how wretched human sin is. It's an awful thing to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ in other lands being martyred. But you know, just like the blood of Abel, that blood that was shed so early in human history, all of that human blood that has been shed, and all of the animal sacrifices whose blood has been shed, all of that blood testifies to us how wretched our sin is. Human sin is so awful that God put His own darling, sinless, eternal Son to death because of it. Let us not forget it. Let us make sure that our children and their children get it. As you and I face ungodly America today, what can we do? You may feel hopeless. You may even be a pessimist. And I have to say that being a pessimist and being hopeless is very wicked, Because it's unbelief. It is unfaithfulness. So what can one man do? You just look at the Scriptures to see what one man can do. We see what Adam did. He wrecked the human race. Thank God the last Adam has done what we were singing in that hymn just a little while ago. What our old Isaac Watts said, that the last Adam has gained for us more blessings than the first Adam lost for us. See what one faithful man can do. Look at Abraham, just dwelling in the midst of a corrupt and a corrupting culture, and yet look at what a nation came from his faithfulness. And God even used that man and that nation to bring our blessed Savior into the world. Consider the church universal on earth and in heaven. And you think of what one man did. He did his duty. He taught his household. And we are a part of his innumerable seed. We are the children of Abraham by faith. Because God said about Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Praise God for that wonderful example and the faithfulness of that man. He was not a perfect man, but he was a godly man. And none of us are perfect, but we can be godly by the grace of God. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, we do pray that Thou wilt seal Thy Word to our hearts. And Lord, we know that there are many things in this world that we cannot do. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to be faithful to our duty in loving Thee, in walking with Thee, in teaching our families and those around us the glorious truth of Thy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.